Welcome to Organizing with Ease. I'm Zeenat Seaman with Firefly Bridge Organizing.
And I'm Deanna Mall with D's Declutter.
This is where we talk about ways to make organizing easy so that we can enjoy our daily lives with less stress. This is episode 98. Spring break season is here, and maybe you're in the thick of it right now on vacation with the little kids. And thanks for listening to us on your vacation, by the way. If you're loving letting the kids stay up late, maybe eating out a bit more, watching some shows, but in the back of your mind is the nagging thought, in just a couple of days, we're all going to have to get back into school and work mode, back into some kind of routine. And maybe that makes you a little bit worried because you can already anticipate how much effort you're going to have to put into getting the kids into their routines. They'll be cranky, there'll be tears, and in general, those first few days back at school might feel like chaos. Well, we've got some good news. We've got some ideas for you about how to start and end your days strong, even if your regularly scheduled days are interrupted by a vacation.
Yes, those routines, right? Those routines. So why don't we mention those? Why those routines really matter in the first place? There is research showing that a consistent morning routine can reduce stress, boost your energy levels, and improve your productivity at work. So scientifically, we should all have a great morning routines. And I so love that are energizing us and making us superheroes, quote unquote, at work. But I don't know about you, but some mornings are really hard, especially if you got those small kids and you know well about this. And if you live in cold climate, getting out of bed in the morning isn't always so appealing. Well, we're not saying it's easy, but it is beneficial to have a morning routine. Think of it as this way. Your morning activities have a direct, noticeable effect on your mood and your productivity. The other thing is that we often hear or read about those super high achievers who wake up at 4:30 a.m., work out, write a novel, and cure cancer before breakfast. But I can actually say, Zeenat, in years past, I actually was one of those moms that woke up at 4:30, did the workout. But I'm just saying. But anyway, not now. Like currently, that's not happening. But anyway, but creating a morning routine that makes your day more productive doesn't have to happen at 4:30 a.m. Okay. As long as you are consistent and you're conscious of how you spend that initial morning time, you can wake up at 7 or 8 a.m. and still have a really great day.
Thank goodness. That was really good to hear. So we've pulled together a list of 7 things that you can add to your morning routine to make it great. And bonus, they are all science-backed. Now, the first one is don't hit the snooze button. It's not an activity.
I love that, Zeenat. I love hitting that snooze button.
No.
Five more minutes.
So it's not an activity, but it's a habit that's best to stop. A bunch of short 10-minute snoozes aren't long enough to provide a full sleep cycle. So here's what's happening. The more you snooze, the more confused your body and your brain become, and you'll actually feel more groggy. And worse, that groggy feeling can stay with you for up to 4 hours. So imagine how your morning is going to feel. So in other words, skip the snooze and allow your body to recognize that you've started your day. You'll be more refreshed and sharper.
Yes. And another way would be to meditate. Ask yourself what your first instinct is when you wake up. Is it to grab your phone and see what you missed overnight? That's a stress inducer. But science tells us that meditation is a stress reducer. And I am a strong believer in that and how beneficial it really is. And it is a really great way to reduce stress. It increases your focus and it really promotes relaxation so that your mind is at ease. So a quick meditation technique would be to 1, find a quiet space. Choose a quiet and comfortable space where you won't be disturbed for a few minutes. Sit comfortably. Sit in a comfortable position, either in a chair with your feet flat on the ground or crossed legs on a cushion, and keep your back straight but relaxed. Close your eyes gently or often, your gaze if you prefer to keep them open. Focus on your breath. Take a few deep breaths to center yourself, then allow your breath to return to its natural rhythm. Pay attention to the sensation of the breath as it enters and leaves your body. Notice your thoughts. As thoughts arise in your mind, simply acknowledge them without judgment and gently guide your attention back to your breath. Relax your body. Scan your body for areas of tension and consciously relax them. Start from your head and work your way down to your toes, releasing any tightness or discomfort. Stay present. Continue to focus on your breath, staying present in the moment. If your mind starts to wander, gently bring your attention back to your breath. And we end with gratitude. After a few minutes, slowly bring your meditation to a close. Take a moment to express gratitude for this time you've set aside for yourself. And that is actually what I do.
And now that we're all fully relaxed.
Yes. Now that we can take, let's now go on to the next step, which would be to, after you've done your meditation, now you're ready to take on the next step, which is?
To make your bed. Okay, so let's review. We're pulling together a list of 7 things that you can do that you can add to your morning routine to make it great. And so the first we said was don't hit the snooze button. The second is to meditate. And the third is make your bed. Now, a bunch of research and surveys have been done. And those surveys show that bed makers say they enjoy their jobs more than people who don't make their beds. I don't know about you, but
okay,
you know, I want to enjoy my job, so I think I'll try making my bed to see if it helps. Also, making the bed is one of the things that has the biggest visual impact in your bedroom, right? So when you make the bed, your room feels instantly cleaner, neater, and more in order. And I think it gives me a mood boost to see my bed made. And full disclosure, I'm not usually the one who makes the bed. It's usually my husband. But I love coming back into the bedroom and seeing it made. It's fantastic. And that sets the tone for my morning when the bed just feels brighter and in control. So do I.
Absolutely. And I do that as well. And actually, now that my husband is home a little bit more often, I can actually agree with you as well there. My husband sometimes makes the bed as well. So it's kind of a nice thing. So yes. Getting into the sun as soon as possible.
Okay, so that's the fourth. Yeah.
So that is number 4. If you soak up the sun early on your day, your brain is signaled that this is daytime, vitamin D. Mm. So I need to transition to morning activities, not sleeping. So that's why the time change also doesn't help sometimes when we go to the morning to the night, right?
Yeah.
Researchers say to try to get about 15 minutes of daylight early on. It could be taking a walk, sitting in a ray of sunlight, shining through your window, or even sitting in front of a daylight lamp.
Yeah, I love that idea. I love sitting in the sun. In fact, I'm kind of cold in my house all the time. And so sitting in a ray of sunshine just feels better anyway. But I love finding those spots throughout the day. Like if I'm having my coffee or my tea in the afternoon or something like that, I find a spot where the sun is shining in and that's where I sit to have my coffee, my tea. It just makes me feel better. But I love this idea of getting out first thing in the morning as early as we can to. And I like the idea of soaking up the sun for 15 minutes.
I know, right? It just makes it such, it's just such a, I'm pretty sure there's other, maybe other parts of the country that doesn't always allow us to soak up the sun.
Right.
But wherever you have that chance, please open up the blinds and just try to look outside.
Yeah.
It's always the best.
I think the idea is we just need daylight on our bodies as quickly as we can in the morning. And that signals to our bodies that it's daytime. And so then your body feels more functional. Okay. So the fifth thing to try to add to a morning routine is exercise.
Woo-hoo.
We all know the benefits of exercise. And it doesn't have to be a marathon hour-long workout session either. It can be a 20 to 30 minute workout. It can be walking the dog, you know, pick up your pace a little bit. That's all it needs to be just to get movement, and anything that you do will help to energize you. So exercise is a great one to try to fit into your morning routine.
Oh, absolutely. So after the exercise now, let's now write down your goals. So research has shown over and over again that people who write down their goals on a regular basis achieve them at a significantly higher rate than those who didn't write them down, didn't write their goals down. So we all know that writing by hand is linked to the part of the brain that's associated with learning. So give that a try. I like that because I have that in my day planner, Zena. That's where I write a lot of my goals. And it's true. My monthly, my yearly is all there. So not only are you more likely to achieve the goals you write, but these goals will also give your day a very specific direction and can help you from getting distracted by the things that aren't a priority. Because that's where we get a little bit sidetracked if we kind of move on to, let me add this to the list. Oh, let me add this.
Or just get distracted by, email. Got a new email. Let me read this.
Distracts
us for a minute too.
No, you get, from like the emails, but also you get distracted by, you have it all written out and you're like, no, you know what? I'm not going to do this one. I'm going to do this one instead. And then you kind of shifted everything that you wanted to have accomplished. And then you get distracted by that email and then you never go back to where that was again. Right. So it's just, It's a vicious cycle.
It is. Okay, and number 7 is to hydrate. While we sleep, we actually become dehydrated. So if you're only drinking coffee in the morning, you're doing your body a disservice. Being hydrated will not only make your body work better, but it can make you more alert. So if your mornings are going to feel more sharp and more energized if you have a big glass of water when you first wake up in the morning. And remember, it doesn't have to be freezing cold ice water. I don't like freezing cold ice water when I first wake up. I just told you I feel cold everywhere in my house. So I like to, I like to drink hot water in the mornings and that helps me to hydrate.
Now, let me ask you, Zena, do you add lemon to that hot water?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Depends what I feel like. But yes, I think lemon water is a great way to hydrate. And it
So I do. My morning, my waters has a little bit of lemon. So I like that flavor. Yeah, I like that flavor. Remember that you don't have to include every single one of these things into your morning routine all at once. But whatever you choose, try to be consistent. If you are, you'll see the benefits of a more energized and productive day. So let's do a quick review of those 7 items again. Number 1, don't hit the snooze button. Number 2, meditate. Number 3, make your bed. Number 4, get 15 minutes of sunshine or daylight. Number 5, exercise. Number 6, write down your goals. And number 7 is to hydrate.
Perfect. Okay, so now let's move on to the evening routine. Remember that what you do in the evening has a direct impact on your morning routine as well. And so if you started strong with a great morning routine, well, end stronger with a really good evening one. So evenings for working moms can feel like an entire, 8-hour day smooshed into a few hours, right? You have to be a chef, a weightlifter, a juggler, a stand-up comic, a diplomat, and maybe even a teacher. That's just chaos. So it's no wonder that there are tears, there can be yelling. But author Heather Miller writes in her book, Primetime Parenting, about a 2-hour school night routine that includes best practices in child development. It's designed to get children between 5 and 13 years old into bed by 9 p.m. every night. And my own opinion here, but it would be absolutely helpful to use this school night routine on vacation too. You might adjust the times a bit depending on circumstances, but we know that kids do so much better when they know what's coming next. So on vacation, if you allow them to stay up until 11 p.m. every day, and they get to eat popcorn late at night and play on their phones in bed, but then the night before school starts up again, you expect them to be back in bed by 8 p.m., it's going to be confusing for them. Not to mention that their circadian rhythms have been altered. So it's going to be tough. Okay, but let's get into Heather Miller's 2-hour routine.
Yes. The first step is what Heather Miller calls the huddle. And this is from 6 to 6:30 p.m. She says, this is the time you're checking in with your kids about their day, sharing about yours, taking a look at their homework for the night, and guiding on how to work on it. When they start their homework, you start dinner, getting dinner ready. From 6:30 to 7 is when dinner time is. Then it's focus time. Have conversations. Sneak in table manners. You know, joke and laugh a little bit. Then by 7 p.m., it's homework time. She says your job isn't to do your kids' homework, but to guide, encourage, organize, and praise them to make sure it gets done thoroughly and thoughtfully. For the younger kids, 7:30 is bath time, book in bed. This can take up to 30 minutes to an hour. And for the older kids, bath, book, and bedtime might start at 8 p.m. if they have more homework. Reading to the kids or having them read to you, or even just talking about what you've each are reading with middle school age kids is reinforcing the bonding time and the conversation. And a final tuck-in, she says, can help a child feel safe, secure, loved, ready for rest. So why is having the kids in bed by 9 so important? Well, it allows them to get the recommended 9 to 11 hours of sleep. And it also allows the parents to get a couple of hours of time to themselves, which is incredibly important to mental health if you're both working full days and then you're with the kids in the evening.
Oh, that's a great
idea.
Is
this something that you've done in your household?
We were very strict bedtime parents. My youngest son tells me the story all the time that in his first grade, I think it was his first grade classroom, the teacher went around the room and just asked everyone, so what's your bedtime? What's your bedtime? And, you know, the answers were 8 p.m., 9 p.m., blah, blah, blah. And he said 6 p.m. And the teacher almost didn't believe him and said 6 p.m. But here we go. Every day, my child would wake up at 5 a.m. And so 6 p.m. was the right time for him to be in bed.
6 p.m. was the right time. Absolutely.
And it's not that 6 p.m. was the time that he was asleep, but 6 p.m. he was in his bed and was, you know, the final song, the prayer, that kind of thing. And then, you know, then I would leave the room. But yeah, we were very strict. How about you? And then it was great because then they were all in bed and my husband and I had time to decompress together.
Yes. So true. We do need, as parents, we do need that decompression time, right? Totally. Yeah, so yes, I too was the same with my girls. Of course, as they got older, the routine changed, but in the beginning, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That really made a big difference. And you actually saw that they were refreshed the next day, as opposed to that like grogginess of like pulling them out of the bed when come on,
right.
It's time to go to school.
The crankiness.
And the crankiness, right? So what's great about this routine is that it stresses that you're fully present with your kids during the 2 hours before they go to bed, and it's not all about the chores.
Yeah.
Right? But having conversations and laughing and sharing with each other, and there's still time for you to catch up on emails or check texts after the kids are in bed, is so crucial, because I don't know about using it, but emails have then and still do today keep coming.
They never stop. But yes,
they never
having
stop.
The chance to really, I love this idea. It's like it's 2 hours of focused time on the kids. And so this is a time when you're actually catching up. So many parents have, you know, the kids are at after school activities or in homework club and that kind of thing until you're done working. And then you pick them up and you come home. And you're so exhausted. And so I think it's great to have this 2 hours. And what it takes to do this is for us as parents to stop between 6 and 8 p.m. and just, like we said, focus on the kids and the family. It's hard to do that when you're exhausted from a full day at work. One of the best things I learned from a friend in Chicago years ago was that she told me that every day when she got home with the kids, she would ask her husband or the babysitter to stay with the kids for 15 or 20 minutes. She would go up to her room, change, and just chill for those 20 minutes. She wasn't doing anything. She wasn't reading emails or catching up on work. Maybe she'd watch, you know, half a show. Maybe she'd listen to some music. She'd basically take those 20 minutes to create a division between the day and the evening. And I loved that idea, and I started doing it myself. And it had such a huge impact on my mental well-being, on my being happy with the kids, to know that those 20 minutes were guilt-free alone time for me. And then I could go back and start the evening with the family, because moms often feel the guilt of hiding out in the bedroom or bathroom to be alone, right? We've all seen those TikToks of a mom's, going into the bathroom with a bag of chips.
They call that mommy timeout.
There you go, mommy timeout. That she built in mommy timeout without any guilt, because she asked her husband and her babysitter, this is what I need. She got to her room for 20 minutes and she was able then to kind of just refresh for those 20 minutes and be in the right mindset to go deal with the kids.
Yes, I actually have done that. My mom actually did that as well. So I got that technique from my mom and I've carried it over. And so for me, it's part of, like we talked about, a routine. And you just need to decompress from the day. Basically just to kind of take a breather for yourself so that you can take on whatever comes your way. The family, not the work aspect, but just the family side of things, right? So that's why I call it my decompression time, just my time myself, just to kind of like do my deep breathing and just relax and be like, okay, you know what? I'm home now and we're good. And now we're off and now I can make dinner and I can do whatever I need to get done or maybe not. But at least I have that second wind, you might say, of that energy that I'm going to need.
And it's so important. And I was the same way. You know, the evening time I was so tired and it was so tempting. And often I did this before we had like a real good routine set up. I would allow the time to creep by. Well, I'll give them 15 more minutes of playtime before bath time and book time and all that, because I was tired. I didn't want just the thought of doing bath time sometimes was like, exhausting. I need to work out before I can do bath.
Well, no, because it's exhausting. It's exhausting, right? It's exhausting.
It's exhausting to do bath time.
It's exhausting.
And so I would kind of let the time creep by until, oh my gosh, it's 7:30. We've got to get into the bath right now. And then I was pulling them away from what they were doing. And then it was even more chaotic for them. And so they were more cranky. I was more snippy. It was just not a good way to end the evening. And so I think that knowing that, okay, between 6 and 8 is my time with the kids. And then guess what? I will have 2 full hours at least after they're in bed for me. And I think that is the reward and something to look forward to for the bedtime routine and all that. So I think
because if you really think about it, if we are happy and we are doing well, it reflects on the family and then they see it. So it's more of like that positive that those vibes, right? Like, so if mommy's happy, and it's
they'll
a mindset.
They'll respond happily.
So then they'll respond happily and not be like, oh, mommy's in that mood again, or there she goes again, right? Like that's one of the things that we as moms.
Or they mirror exactly how we speak to them. So if
if
we're in a rush, they're going to come back with crying because they can't be in a rush. You know, it's a cycle, like I said.
Totally. It really is. So we put the link to Heather Miller's book, Primetime Parenting, in the show notes so that you can find it there. Thanks for joining us today. Please leave us a quick review. Reviews help others find our podcast.
And follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss a new episode. Remember that a new episode comes out every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. Join us again next week for more organizing ideas and tips. Until next week. Thank you.